You're good. All right. No, he's not holding up traffic. You're doing fine, brother. Amen. You're doing fine. Where's your brew? Where's your crew? Are they okay? Man, you're the only one. Uh-oh. Yeah? Yeah, right. Oh, my soul. Yeah, you may see them stir this afternoon then. Amen. All right. Well, good to see each and every one of you this morning. We've got some visitors with us this morning, so let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. Very good, very good. And thank you all for greeting each other in the name of the Lord. And we'll get our announcements going here. We've got some birthdays for March 27th through April the 2nd. We've got Ronnie Holman. Ronnie Holman's birthday is today. He's in the house with us. Amen, Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie says he's 76 today. 76. So his wife says he's hugging 80. Amen. He's hugging 80s. Oh, who was Friday? All right, how old? How old? 25. Amen. So 25 times 3 gets you my mother-in-law's birthday, who just had a birthday, and she turned 75. Amen. Very good. Sandy, what day was your birthday on? The 18th. All right, very good. So Sandy turned 75. My brother back there turned 25, amen. And then Jackie Sanson is turning a birthday tomorrow. Anybody know how old Jackie's going to be? Young. He's getting on up there, isn't he, Jackie? 62, amen. All right, so Jackie Sanson's got a birthday. Any announcements? We got any announcements? Anything? All right. Well, let's sing some happy birthday, and then we'll start the service, amen. All right, thank you, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. All right, well, praise the Lord. We're going to start out by singing, Blessed Be Your Name. Stand if you can. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, and found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. And every blessing. Closes in. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. And I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. Worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. There is none like you. Amen.
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 Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for the choir.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And we thank you for Jeremiah leading this music this morning, Lord. And we just give you all the praise for that. And we lift you up on high. And we just thank you just be able to be here today. We thank you for our visitors, Lord. We ask you to bless them. Lord, we ask you to be with our pastor this morning as he brings the message, put the word on his heart. Just let the Holy Spirit flow in this church.
Amen.
May there be anybody here today that don't know you, come forward and give their life to you. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name, Lord. And Lord, we just lift up this offering, Lord. We just, you give us so much, Lord, and we just give so little back, Lord. But we just thank you for the things you do give us, Lord. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life.
Amen. All right, all right. Well, we got any children's churchers today? Any children's church? Two? Well, two is it. All right. Fun, man. Get out while the getting's good, brother. All right, all right. Hey, y'all remember that? How you doing, Hoss? Yeah. Hey, you come talk to me. I'm not doing children's church, but you can talk to me for a minute if you want. I'm the guy that I... Huh? I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. I hope you have a good children's church. Oh. The guy back there in the booth has got a special switch. Whoa. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Very good. All right. Well, for the rest of you, if you're wondering about that screen, there's a switch back there. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 10. So I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. 18:10. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us this morning. And remember that cold weather? That's over. It's going to be 84 degrees today. Can you believe that? 84 degrees it is going to be today. It's hard to wrap my head around that. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 10. Those of you with us online, verse 10, reading through 14. If you found that this morning, say glory, hallelujah. All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." We have a bracketed verse here in verse 11. Maybe in your translation it says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." That verse does not typically occur or does not occur in earlier manuscripts. You may have some brackets around that. That's what that means. But that was stated in Luke's record of this event. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We thank you for the message contained herein for each of us. We pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive it. And Father God, we love you today. We thank you for all that you do for us, how you provide for us, Lord, how you call us back, and Lord, how you put people in our lives when we wander off and go astray to bring us back into the fold. We thank you and praise you for those folks. And Lord, we pray that we would be those kinds of folks to others. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Now, I'll try to be as honest with you as I can. I was rotating the tires on my truck. I told you that I only wash the truck maybe once, twice a year. Well, yesterday was the day to wash it. Had the truck 9 months, hadn't washed it. Cleaned it out a couple times inside. It's a work truck. So anyway, I washed it, and I thought, you know, before I washed it, I thought I'd rotate the tires. And so got the jacks out and rotated the tires. Well, everything was going great until I came out from underneath the truck on the last tire, and I hit my head on the trailer hitch coming out. And lights don't bother me. Sounds don't bother me. I don't think I have a concussion. But, friend, my head hurts. I mean, it hurts. I hit right here, right here. And I had on my big old sun hat. You see me from a distance with my sun hat on, and you think, is that guy working in a rice paddy? I mean, it's a big hat. I got this big old sun hat on. And I had that thing on, and I don't know why I had it on under the truck because I was in the shade. But for whatever reason, God's grace. Had I not had that sun hat on and had something over the top of my head, Stephanie probably drove me to the ER. So anyway, the head's really sore. I'm just getting over being hit in the center of my thigh by my daughter. I was giving her some soft toss pitches through the pitching screen, and she's a left-handed batter, and I'm a right-handed pitcher, and I didn't get out of the way, and there's a hole in that pitching screen that you can pitch through. And she beamed a line drive through there. We're only 15 feet away, and she hit me right in the thigh. So if it ain't my head, it's my leg. So I'm going to try to rip through this today and give you what the Lord wants you to have. Maybe choppy a little bit in my speech, but I've taken to a leave, and I don't take much of anything. So when I take something, it about puts me on my back. So anyway, with that said, we're talking about watching them with love. Who are we? Who's the them? The them are the folks that for whatever reason, young Christians, young in the Lord people, let's say that they may be 50 years old, they may be 40 years old, they may be 20 years old, they may be 10 or 12, but young in the faith Christians who wander away, we're to watch them with love. Now, this message intersects the life of this church. We have a family right now in our congregation, and the husband is pretty much ready to bail on the marriage and on the relationship and on the home and everything else. He suffers with mental illness, like my father suffered with mental illness, manic depressiveness. And Dad, the only way Dad could live and cope with his mental illness was to stay on his medication. Anytime he felt like he didn't need to take it, anytime he felt like, you know, don't push that on him, anytime he felt like he was going to not take it, that's when trouble came, and that's when he would end up going and being institutionalized for 30, 60, or 90 days. And then they would get him back on his medication, and he would come back home, and he would be fine as long as he stayed on the medication. For those of you that are, you don't have to show your hand, I'm not trying to smoke you out today, but if you are struggling with mental illness to the point where you have to take something for it, that's not anything to be ashamed about or embarrassed about. But if you would like to reach out to this individual, I'll give you his contact information. He's not going to talk to me. I've tried to talk to him in the past. He's not going to hear me. He's not going to talk to me. But if you're struggling with mental illness, it needs to be somebody that has walked in the shoes of mental illness and taking medication for it right now, okay? So if that's your life, if that's your background, if that's your history, and you feel led of the Lord, maybe the Holy Spirit is pressing upon you to think about this individual and to reach out to him, get with me after the service, and I'll try to get you everything I can so you can reach out to this guy. But it's a sad deal, amen? But we don't write this brother off. We keep praying for him, and we're going to pray for his family, amen? Amen. Well, in this passage this morning, Jesus does what? He expressed love and value for those who come to him in the faith of a little child. Now remember, the little child is an illustration. An illustration for the believer with childlike faith. That's what's going on here. An immature Christian, in a lot of ways, when we think about their faith and how much they've been discipled or how little they've been discipled and all of those things. As we start this morning, let me give you a quick review of chapter 18, because that's where we're at, chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Chapter 18 began with Jesus' disciples doing what? They were arguing over which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They were estimating each other's worth in the way that the unbelieving world estimates worth. Now, Jesus lets them know at the beginning of this chapter that in his kingdom, greatness is not valued by this world's standards. Look at verses 2 through 4 with me. And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus, get the picture, had set this little child in their midst as a what? As a living illustration. But I believe Jesus meant for us to understand this little one or little ones to be anyone who comes to him in the humble faith of a little child, which means we're talking about people that come to Jesus like little ones who are not demanding, who are not boasting in their own righteousness. They're not bragging about their own capabilities. They're not demanding that everything be explained to their own intellectual satisfaction. They're not insisting that everything be given to them in their own terms. For you see, when Jesus calls a little child to himself, that child simply and gladly comes, loving him, trusting in him, offering only a smile and a hug to him, and gladly receiving everything from him. Amen. And then Jesus goes on to stress that those who come to him in such childlike faith are to be treated with the utmost care, verses 5 through 9. And so now we come to our passage this morning. In verses 10 through 14, Jesus lays out to us how much we are to value and respect those who come to him in childlike humility, whoever they are. Whoever they are. They may not seem like much in this world's view. They may not even seem like much in our sight through the eyes of our flesh, but they are exceedingly precious, and they are very highly regarded in the view of our Lord. Now, at first reading, at first hearing of this passage, verses 10 through 14, don't miss the theme of one, right? One. Over and over again, one is stated in these verses. Jesus views each one who trusts in him as one who is so valued by God that we cannot even estimate the value of the one. The Father views each one as uniquely precious. And the point that Jesus is trying to make to his disciples that were arguing over who was the greatest is that they had better do as God does. That be the point. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want to share with you three things about 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. That's five verses. Of course, I won't cover verse 11, so we're back down to four verses. So three things about these four verses. Number one, don't look down on them. Don't look down on them. Verse 10, 18, 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. That word despise means to look down. It means to disdain. Don't look down on them. Kind of begs a question, doesn't it? What does Jesus mean by that when he says don't look down? Well, when we do a little research in the Word of God, we find out that there are many, many ways that we as mature in the faith believers can look down upon those that are weak in the faith believers or immature in the faith believers. How do we look down or despise a humble in faith Christian? Number one reason, the number one way is this: by flaunting our liberty. Flaunting our liberty before weaker believers, causing them to go against their conscience or to overreact and fall deeper into legalism, right? So, I just take this for example because it's so much in my dysfunctional family growing up, but alcoholism, all of my uncles, except for my dad, were chronic functioning alcoholics. I can smell an alcoholic 30 feet away. You say, you mean that? I mean that. I will not give you names, but there have been drunk folk come in these doors on Sunday morning. You say, really? I'm telling you, man. They can mouthwash it. They can Mentos it. They can do it. I've got a nose for alcohol like you've never seen in your life. Amen. My kids do not stand a chance. I don't even have to get up in their face. They can come in the door and shut the door, and just the waft of the wind from the door, buddy, I'd be on that like June bug on, I'm telling you, amen? So, you get a guy that can have a beer with his steak or a glass of wine with his Italian food, and he's A-OK. You have a gal that can do that, and they're A-OK. And they get a young believer next to them who really struggles with the bottle, right? Really struggles with the booze, really struggles with the sauce. And they know that. And they have that beer in front of them anyway. Or they have that wine in front of them anyway. That is despising that weak in the faith believer. Amen? And let me tell you what's going to happen. That weak in the faith believer is either going to fall off the wagon if they're trying to stay sober, or they're going to be so upset that that individual drank in front of them that either way their discipleship is going to be hindered. They're either going to go far legalism or they're going to get back on the juice. Does that make sense to you? By flaunting our liberty before weaker believers, causing them to go against their conscience or to overreact and fall into deeper legalism. Number two, how do we despise, look down on them? By showing favoritism for certain believers or partiality for some in the church over others. Now, I'll give you the passage. It's James chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now, in the churches I've been in, there's always been a group of people that go out to eat, they get together, they enjoy each other's fellowship. Me and my wife purposefully do not go and attend those groups very often. Why? Well, unless we're invited or some kind of special occasion, we'll get with those folks. But we don't want to get with those folks all the time, and then other people in the church look at that every week. Every week, he's got his favorites. That preacher's got his favorites. We know how it works around here. Amen? And then again, their discipleship is what? It's hindered, right? Because we do what? They think we're playing favorites. Number three, by withholding help for those in need. We've got a young believer in the faith. They're not discipled. They come across some tough times, and we do what? We withhold help for those in need. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. On the favorite thing, James chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Number four, how do we despise, look down upon them? By ridiculing their physical appearance. Ridiculing their physical appearance. Man, if you want to ridicule somebody, just catch me in a pair of shorts. You can have all the ridicule fun you want to, amen? Because, it is a wonder of science how this body stands on these skinny legs. I mean, it just is. But don't make fun. I mean, you can ridicule the lack of hair. You can ridicule the long neck. I mean, you can ridicule the freckles. You can ridicule the teeth. Everything about your pastor you can ridicule. But don't ridicule anybody else in the congregation. Don't do that. I'm telling you, man, I can take it. I've been made fun of my whole life. But don't do that to anybody else in your church. I don't care how tempting it is. God takes a bunch of different folks from different backgrounds and different socioeconomic this and different physicality this and different size this and different areas, and He brings it all together to make His church. That's the beauty, that we're different. Amen? By ridiculing their physical appearance. Now, such insensitive, heartless criticism was directed against Paul by some of the haughty, worldly members in the Corinthian church. You never want to be the church of Corinth. I mean, there's some churches you want to be, but Corinth ain't it. This had so affected the Apostle Paul, so affected him, that Paul, when he got to the church at Galatia, he commended the Galatians for not despising or loathing, as he said, his bodily condition. What was his bodily condition? Scholars tell us that perhaps he had a serious eye infection related to malaria when he first preached the gospel to them in Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. It affected Paul greatly, amen? To mock another person, to make fun of another person because of physical or mental or cultural deficiencies is flat wrong in God's sight. Amen? Number five, by being indifferent or judgmental of a fellow believer who spiritually stumbles. Who spiritually stumbles. Now, when a brother or sister falls into sin, especially if the sin is public and well known, there's a temptation in all of us to write them off. And this is how we do it. Whether we say it or not, we think it. In effect, if not in words, this is what we think. They knew better, and they made their choice. Let them lie in the bed that they've made for themselves. Sound familiar? That's an oh me, not an amen. Oh me, yeah. Sound familiar? Now, we are certainly to confront sin in love. And we are even to discipline someone out of the church, breaking fellowship with them, if they do not repent of the public sin. But our attitude should never be that they are a lost cause. Never, ever that they are lost. We still love that one. We still pray for that one. We still hope that that one will change. Friend, to give up with indifference or a judgmental attitude is to indirectly say that we don't believe in God's grace, and that we don't believe in God's mercy, and that we don't believe in the power of prayer, and that we don't believe in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We never, ever give up on a lost, wayward Christian. Amen, church? And number six, how do we look down or despise a humble in faith Christian? Number six, by taking advantage of them for personal gain. Now, in the Bible here, in 1 Thessalonians, although Paul was referring specifically to sexual immorality, his warning to the Thessalonians applies to taking advantage of a fellow believer in any way, financially, socially, or any other way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you." Now, don't look down on them, amen? There are several ways that we can look down on folks that are struggling in their faith, that are immature in their faith. The reason you do not look down or despise them is because of their angelic support. Look at 18:10, second half of it. "See that you do not despise, disdain, or look down." That's basically what that's saying. "One of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." The reason you don't look down or despise them is because of what? Their angelic support. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" The purpose of some of the angelic realm is to serve God by caring for and helping God's people. Amen. That's good news. These angels in heaven, they live, they reside in the very presence around the very throne of God, where they wait attentively for God's commands to serve the people that He loves. That's good news. The implication of verse 10 is that the holy angels, they never miss direction from Him. They never miss direction from Him regarding a task they are to perform on behalf of a believer. They never miss it. They always hear the direction. Still with me so far? Amen? Now, some of you may take away from this passage, certainly in verse 10, that we all have a guardian angel. But that's not the point that Jesus is trying to make here. Jesus' point is that the humble in faith Christians, the immature in faith Christians, the new to the faith Christians, the undiscipleship Christians are supported and ministered by the angelic realm. And if you despise, if you look down on them, be forewarned, you are messing with God's business. That's the point he's trying to make. The fact that Almighty God is so concerned about the care of His beloved children that He has hosts of angels in His presence ready to be dispatched to their aid demonstrates clearly how valuable believers are and how unthinkably wicked it is to look down with disdain on someone whom God so highly prizes. Amen? So don't look down on them, but do. It's a message of do's and don'ts. Don't look down on them, but do diligently seek them when they wander. When they wander. Look at verses 12 and 13. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Now, because they may be weak, because they may be vulnerable to the temptations of sin, or because they may have grown up to be easily led astray from the faith they once professed, one of Jesus' precious little ones may wander away from His path that they were once on. They may wander away. It's happened. It's happened. I've seen it over and over again through the years. And one of the ways that we might show, one of the ways that we might show that we despise them is by not pursuing them when they wander. Not pursuing them. We might not think that they're worth the effort. We might think that we have better things to do. That's the wrong attitude and wrong thinking. That's wrong attitude and wrong thinking. See, do diligently seek them when they wander. We want to think the way a shepherd thinks. That's how we want to think. We want to think the way a shepherd thinks. My wife, I don't know how it happened. I do not have a clue. Somewhere along the way, it happened. I quit being a dog person, and I began being a cat person. I don't understand it. We used to have dogs. We had large dogs. We had 2 Dalmatians. Those were our first babies. Sarah Bear, black spotted Dalmatian, beautiful dog, beautiful. And then we had this liver-spotted, brown-spotted Dalmatian called Freckle Speckle Abigail Lee. And we loved those dogs. I mean, I'm telling you, they were something else to us. They were our first kids, our first family, and we took care of them. And you know, they were just good Dalmatians. The breed can kind of be all over the place. We got lucky with both of our dogs. They were good dogs. But somewhere along the line, we became cat people. And I have this thing in my heart for cats. And my wife is like, you got to stop it with the cats. We cannot take in another cat. And I go, I know we can't take it in, but I can at least get it to AAR, Abandoned Animal Rescue, and they can find a home for it. Stephen, the cats they're feral. We can't, but I, you know, they're so cute. And they need a family, honey. They just need a family. Well, we ain't got time to go chasing no more feral cats. It's a shepherding mentality. It's a concern mentality. You may have that way of thinking for your dogs, or you may have that thinking for hamsters or small little feral animals. I don't know, but I've got bit by the cat bug, and so that's how I think about cats. But it's a shepherding mentality. A good shepherd would be so committed to the needs of his sheep that he would leave the remaining 99 and go to the treacherous places where the lost sheep had wandered and search for the lost sheep. Now, if you need a good cat, if you'll go to Tomball Post Office, show up there about dusk. The people up there are feeding the cats with a big old pan of cat food. And if you go up there and talk real sweet, you might get one of them cats to come to you. If you're looking for a cat, Miss Bicky, maybe looking for a cat, right? A good shepherd would not simply shrug and say, oh, well, 99 out of 100 kept safe. You know, we've got 99 out of the 100. That's not too bad of a day's work. We've only lost one sheep. Now, that's pretty good. A good shepherd would not say that. A good shepherd is all in, man. There would be no sheep left behind. No sheep left behind. Have you seen on the news in this Ukrainian and Russian conflict that when these Russian military personnel, when they die, they're just left? Have you seen that? You have to go on to YouTube and get you some real news a little bit. They don't show that on the national news, but you get on the YouTube and you find some of these independent news agencies, and they'll show you, man, these Russian guys are just sitting. The Ukrainians don't do that. When the Ukrainians lose army personnel, they risk life and limb to retrieve. He's already dead. They risk life and limb to retrieve his body so they can give him proper burial. How did we operate in Vietnam? How did we operate in Korea? How did we operate in World War II? How did we operate in World War I? No man what? Left behind. Right? That is the mentality. No sheep left behind. A good shepherd, once he found the lost sheep, he would actually rejoice more over the one that was found than he would over the 99 that were lost. We're talking about here a little OCD. You know what OCD is? Obsessive compulsive disorder. You know what I'm talking about? OCD. Me and the wife can get ready to go on a trip, right? You relate with this? Everything's loaded in the car, but I've forgotten one thing. And we cannot leave, Fred, before I have that one thing. And guess what, Fred? I can't find it. Now, the car's loaded. The kids have all pottied. The car is running. There's a puddle underneath the vehicle from all the condensation from the air conditioner. They've been in the car so long. But we ain't leaving yet. Why? Because Daddy hadn't found the one thing that he's got to have for the road trip. Whatever it may be. Maybe this smart watch. Maybe the thing that my phone holds in. Maybe the charger for my phone. Maybe my favorite belt. Maybe a pair of socks that I can't live without. Whatever. Maybe my flip-flops. Whatever it is. And Stephanie's like, honey, can we just get a pair at Old Navy when we get there? Can we just buy another? Can you just order it on Amazon and have it delivered where we're going? No, I I've got to find it. Y'all, I can tell now y'all be praying more for my wife in the days to come, right? I've got to have it. I've got to find it. And then when I find it, and I always find it, I come out of the house and I'm like, touchdown, I found it. And my wife says, where was it? Where you left it? And I say, yeah, it's exactly where I left it. Amen. But the car's loaded. The kids are all in the car. But I'm celebrating over a $2 object or a $5 object, over a $10 object. I'm celebrating more over what was found than what's already loaded. Amen? Do you make sense? It's an OCD mentality. Now, I'm not saying be OCD, but I'm talking about when it comes to a wayward believer, be OCD, go after them. Go after them. You're leaving on a trip. You're Pastor Steve leaving on a trip, and you've got to have that individual. Amen? You've got to have the church. You've got the church. You've got the kids. You got the Awanas. You got the Sunday school. But this one individual, you got to have them. Amen? OCD, you with me? I guess that's one way that OCD could be a positive. Amen? A good shepherd has a heart for each one of the individual sheep entrusted to his care. Think the way a shepherd thinks. Follow the good shepherd's example. Jesus has stressed that he himself is such a good shepherd. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. He knows where each one is. He knows their names. He makes sure that they are known by him. John's gospel continues to say in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. If Jesus feels that way about each one of his lost little ones, then how can we say we are his followers if we do not feel as he feels about them? How can we know? How can we know that he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep, but then not even lift a finger to draw them back into the fold when they wander? How can we know that he knows each one by name, but then ourselves not even notice when they are gone? Now, I will say this about this church. You folks have a shepherding mentality. Many of you do. We'll have folks that move on for whatever reason. They move, or they feel led of the Lord to attend another church, and they'll send me a Dear John email. You know, it's not you, it's me, and we're going to such and such charismatic church here, such and such Methodist church there, or whatever it may. And that's fine, you know. I mean, I don't stand up and say, I got an email from this family and they moved on. But you folks do what? You notice. That's a good sign, amen? That's a good sign. You notice. That means you care. That means you, in a lot of ways, love your fellow members, amen? Praise the Lord. So think the way a shepherd thinks. Follow the good shepherd's example, because what do we want to do? We don't want to look down on them, but we want to diligently seek them when they wander. How is that going to happen in our lives? We're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit's gentle call. You're going to have to listen to that gentle call, urging you to diligently seek out one of his wandering lost ones, perhaps through a phone call, or perhaps through an email, or perhaps through a text message, or perhaps through a social media message, or even through a card. Miss Sakura, man, she's gorgeous at this. Miss Sakura does a huge job, doesn't attend the church anymore, watches us online, but guess what? If she finds out that somebody's wayward, somebody's hurting, someone's fallen away, what does Miss Sakura do? She sends them a card. Amen? Send them a card, right? Send them a note, or perhaps even a personal visit from you. See, Jesus is letting us know that none of his little ones, no matter how insignificant in this world's view, is unworthy of the greatest possible effort by the church, by his true disciples, by his mature believers. Which leads me to point number three. Point number one, don't look down on them. Point number two, do diligently seek them when they wander. And then point number three, do pursue the Father's will for them. Verse 14 says, so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Oh man, seek, pursue the Father's will for them. First of all, what God's will for them is not. The word that Jesus uses for perish means to destroy. And the Father's will is that even one of his little ones should not be destroyed in any way. So we've got to do some inference here. What God's will for them is. We know God's will for them is not for them to be destroyed. Then what is God's will for them? We got to do some inference. What is the opposite of destruction? I mean, let's think about it. You've seen the images of Ukraine, and they send these missiles over there and they hit these residential areas and these indiscriminate bombings. They drop on these neighborhoods and on these people's personal residence, and they bomb this theater where people had taken their kids and put in the front of the theater and behind the theater in Russian children, right? And they leveled that thing, and 300 people die in it, right? Entombed in it. And all the destruction and all the death and all the... when it's finally over, and it's all going to come to an end. It's going to end, maybe not in a year, maybe not in 2 years, but it is going to end. What is Ukraine going to need? They're going to need their buildings what? Rebuilt, built up. They're going to need their infrastructure what? Strengthened, put back together. That's the opposite of destruction. It is to be strengthened. It is to be built up. And that's what we're talking about here. God's will for them is that we strengthen them, is that we build them up. Amen? So we too are to extend every effort toward the cause of ministering strength and nurture to those who are young or weak in the faith. You and I have a duty to the little ones that Jesus entrusted to our care. They watch us, the young in the faith, whether they're 40, they're 50, they're 60, they're 10, they're 12. They watch us carefully. They're watching us. They seek to imitate our walk in Christ, our walk in the faith. And we must one day give an account to the Lord for the care that we have shown toward their faith. We're going to be held accountable for that. Amen? So the question is, do we make sure we set an example for them that truly pleases the Father? Do we watch out that we do not do anything that hurts their precious faith in Him? Do we give ourselves eagerly and sacrificially toward the building up of that faith and toward the strengthening of their commitment to the one who gave himself for them? Let me remind you one more time concerning our passage this morning. We see that Jesus calls us to greatly respect and highly regard the little ones who believe on him. He calls us to make He calls us to make sure that we never look down on them or despise them. And he calls us to diligently seek them when they wander away. And he calls us to give ourselves to the pursuit of the Father's goodwill for their lives. And so, may the Lord Jesus find us faithful in our care for his little ones. Amen. Now, I preach through books of the Bible. I pick up this book. I feel led of the Lord. Holy Spirit laid it on my heart to preach through it. I don't really have a timeline. I just start in chapter 1. preached through all the verses, all the paragraphs. And lo and behold, I'm getting ready for this morning, and I get a text message from one of the families in our church that this is going on, that this brother will not take his medicine, and that he's decided to live in another part of the house, and that he's leaving in the 1st of April. Right? He says he's saved. Not joined a church, but he says he's got a relationship with Christ. And so, that's on us to reach out to him. I've tried, amen. Sometimes people don't want to hear from the chief salesman. They want to hear from a satisfied customer. Amen. I've tried. I've reached out to him. But some of you that have walked in the shoes of my dad and had very productive lives with mental illness, on medication, that's you're the chosen instrument right now. You know how to pray for this individual. You know what to say to this individual. And if this individual listens to anybody, they'll listen to you. So I put it on you. You come to me privately, or you call me on the phone, or whatever, and we'll talk, and I'll give you the details. And you reach out to that person. God will give you the time. He'll give you the right timing. And you just pray. You pray before you call them. You just pray. And God will lead you through that. Amen? And wouldn't it be glorious if the marriage got put back together and the individual got back on the needed medicine? Friend, I take high blood pressure medicine. You know what would happen to me if I didn't take high blood pressure medicine the way I operate? I would already be a stroke victim. I'd already be gone, brother. I take high blood pressure medicine. I take a levothyroxine for low thyroid. I got all kinds of crazy stuff wrong with me. I don't care. Amen. Right? Man, I quit caring about 10 years ago. I just don't care. I mean, you want me to take another pill? Okay, what's this for? Right? Can I afford it? That's the question. Can I afford it? Okay, I can afford it. Is the insurance going to pay for it? All right, I'll take it. Is it going to make my physical look better next year? All right, I'm all in. Let's do it, right? We can't, folks, we're imperfect people. We're living in an imperfect world. These brains are just like these hearts, just like these kidneys, just like these lungs, just like these bones, just like this skin. They've been affected by sin. They need help sometimes, right? Praise the Lord for medicine. You can take too much of it. I agree with that. But not taking anything when you need to be on something, you need to rethink that proposition. Amen? Are y'all with me? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Jeremiah, you want to make your way down? All right, buddy. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, God, that we can pray and we can seek a wayward brother or a wayward sister. Lord, we're thankful that when we were wayward in times in our life, that you rallied some troops and you sent some folks after us. And Lord, we may not have listened the first time, and we may not have listened the second time, but God, you were persistent and your church was faithful. And Lord, maybe the third or the fourth time we began to wake up, smell the proverbial coffee, and see that we need to get back on the path of salvation and discipleship. So Lord, we pray for this family and our congregation. We pray for their marriage. We pray for this medication situation in the midst of mental illness, that God, you would intervene in a mighty way, and that you would get the victory, and you would get the glory and the honor that is due your name. We know that there are angels ministering in the midst of all this. And Lord, we pray that as a congregation and certain individuals in this church, that you would use them and direct them to make an incredible impact, positive impact, spiritual impact for this family and for this individual. Lord, we love you today. We praise you today. We thank you today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Jeremiah, lead us in a time of invitation. The altars are open if you want to come and pray. I'm down here if you need to talk about salvation or something else. I'll be available to you. And thank y'all for being here today. Let's sing, brother.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior.
Get the service tonight. We'll be back here at 6 p.m. We're in that Revelation thing, that study. It's been good, man. Boy, I think we got a good message tonight. I think so. Thank you, man, for being here today. It's good having you. Amen.
You.
All right. Revelation study. That's right. Amen. Good having you on. Amen. Amen. Revelation study tonight at 6, and happy birthday. I'll get if we get to the end here, I'll figure it out. All right. Revelation study here at 6 p.m. tonight, and thank y'all for being here today, and love you in the Lord, amen. Keep on keeping on. I know it's tough out there sometimes, but Jesus is for you, not against you, amen? All right. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you again for this time. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for saving us. We give you all the praise and the glory that's due your name. Thank you for your word. And Lord, how it intersects the life of our church and intersects our own personal lives so often, God. It just, your word is incredible. Thank you for the Holy Spirit here today. Thank you for how the person of the Holy Spirit has ministered and touched lives. Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for who you are and what you're doing and what you're about. Use us, God, to bring people closer to you. And Lord, use our lives to point people towards the cross and towards the gospel. And Lord, we're so thankful today that somebody pointed us towards you. Somebody helped us find the spiritual bread of life. So God, we just rejoice in that today. We thank you. Give us safety as we leave here. Lord, thank you for the beauty of the day that we have today. And Lord, may we just, as we leave, may we be able to say, it was good to be together. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Na, 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 na. Holy. little baby. You're so very sweet.